I just want to welcome to everyone that's joined with us tonight. It's good to see you, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we're just gathered here under the sound of God's Word. As we've said on previous occasions, it's really a blessed place to be, just under the sound of God's Word. You're not listening to the best of preachers, but you're certainly listening to the best of messages. There's no other message like the message of the Gospel, and it's a message that is centred in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we're glad you're here tonight, and we welcome you. And we trust the Lord will bless us all as we're here under the Word of God. Now, the meetings will continue throughout the week, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, each night at 8 o'clock. So if you're free, we would love to see you back, not only to Thursday this week, but the following week as well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every night at 8 o'clock. And if you could make the meetings as widely known as possible, and if you can encourage others to come, then we'd appreciate that very much indeed. At 7:15, we meet for prayer in the hall here. And then we have a wee time out in the street just to remind the people when you come up that the meetings are on and just to give them an invitation again to join with us. Well, I just want to read a verse from the Bible tonight. It's a well-known verse. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and it's verse number 6. Now, part of this verse was already quoted in the hymn that we sung, the last hymn that we sung, made reference to this verse. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's all we're going to read from the Word of God. These are words that are so simple, and yet they're so powerful. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So simple that we can hardly argue against them, we can hardly refute it, we can hardly question it. The Lord Jesus makes a clear statement. I am the way. We've been speaking in nights gone past about the fact that God's call, that God communicates with men. The tragedy is there are many individuals and their ears just seem to be closed to the call of God. Many people that are just disinterested, they listen to any voice and every voice, but their ears are closed and their mind is closed to the communication that comes from God. You know, we're living in days of amazing technology. And men with their amazing technology, every moment of every day, are listening for a message coming from outer space. And they're tuned in 24 hours a day, listening for some sign of life on another planet. And all the time, the great God of eternity, the God of heaven, is communicating in message that is clear and plain. And men don't want to know. But you want to know. That's why you're here tonight. To hear what God would say to our hearts. God communicates. And God communicates his message to us, not only in words, but he communicates his message in a person. And God communicates his message to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. The Lord Jesus is the way to God. The Lord Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the way to life. He's the way to salvation. Some people think that it's keeping the Ten Commandments that is the way to God and the way to heaven. Some people think the way to heaven is by living a good life, by doing good works, being kind and neighborly to people round about you, by church attendance, by being baptized, and a whole host of other things. And people think that these are the ways that will get them to heaven. But the Lord Jesus says, listen, I am the way. I am the way. So it's not our baptism that gets us to heaven. It's not our good works. It's not our moral righteous life. There's only means and enabler to people round about you by church attendance, by being baptized, and a whole host of other things. And people think that these are the ways that will get them to heaven. But the Lord Jesus says, listen, I am the way. I am the way. So it's not our baptism that gets us to heaven.
It's not our good works. It's not our moral righteous life. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. And that really means that if we miss the Lord Jesus, then we miss the way. That if we don't come and trust the Lord Jesus, have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus, then we'll never have a relationship with God and we'll miss heaven for eternity. Because there's only one way to go and one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he didn't come to point the way to God. He came to be the way to God. Just before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, there was a man called John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist called himself just a voice crying in the wilderness. And what was he crying? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was a signpost. He was pointing to the Lord Jesus. He was pointing the way. But the Lord Jesus, he is the way. He is the way. So, if you want to be in heaven, and I'm sure deep down in every heart there's a desire to be in heaven. I have only met a relatively few people in my life that wanted to be in hell. You can think of a dear woman down in Ayr tonight, and that's where she wants to be. She wants to be in hell. How sad. But most people want to be in heaven. Well, there's only one way to get there, and it's through the Lord Jesus. I wonder, have you come to him? Have you trusted in him? Have you received him? Have you recognized that there is only one God and there is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the one that gave his life a ransom on the cross? And have you trusted him to be your Savior? Have you trusted him to reconcile you to God and to give you that assurance of heaven for eternity? He trusted Christ, because Christ alone is the way. The Lord Jesus is the way out of death to life. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he proved that in a physical way. He visited a little village called Bethany, which is just on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus oftentimes went to that village because there was a home there whose residents were very precious to him. There was Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus had died. The two sisters were heartbroken. The Lord Jesus was heartbroken. And the Lord Jesus arrived at Bethany 4 days after the burial had taken place. And the Lord Jesus made his way to the tomb where Lazarus was lying. And Mary and Martha were with them. And some of the people from the village were there. And some people from Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus says, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. He's stinking. He's been lying in the tomb for 4 days. He's stinking. His body has gone to corruption. The Lord says, roll away the stone. And they rolled it away. And the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. The Lord Jesus Christ had brought a man that was dead back to life. No one else could have done that. No one else had the capability. Only Christ is the way from death to life. One word from Christ, and Lazarus had life imparted to him, a newness of life, a vibrancy that he never had before. And we discover in the next chapter that he's sitting in the power of that new life that was imparted to him by the Lord Jesus. He's sitting and he's having supper with the Lord Jesus in the home. He's communing. Savior. No one else could do such a transformation. No one else could perform such a miracle, bringing life out of death. Christ can, and he still does. He still does. The Lord Jesus is still the way from death to life. You see, the Bible tells us that men and women in New Cumberland tonight are dead. Men and women all over the world tonight are dead in sins, dead in trespasses and in sin, spiritually dead. and the Lord Jesus can give life. You see, the reason men are dead is because of sin that's in their hearts. Remember way back in the book of Genesis when God had created man and placed him in the Garden of Eden, and he said, you can eat of the fruit of all the trees in the garden except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. And there came a moment when Adam did what God told him not to do, and he didn't eat that. Well, he did die. He didn't die physically. He didn't suddenly drop in the spot. He didn't suddenly take a massive coronary and that was the end. No, he didn't die physically, but he died inside his heart. He died spiritually. He became dead to God. That link of communion with God, that sweet relationship with God was severed in a moment. He died in his soul. And that death that Adam entered into the moment that he sinned against God has been passed down right through the generations of time. Men and women all around us tonight are dead in trespasses and sin. Shut off from God. No longer able, not able to have communion with God, to enjoy a relationship with God. But that has been severed by sin. But the Lord Jesus can give life. Paul wrote to these dear Christians in the city of Ephesus, and he said, he says, you were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but you have been quickened. You've been made alive. And where did that life come from? It came from Christ. That's why Jesus Christ came. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to impart newness of life, fullness of life, eternal life to those that trust in him. I wonder, do you have that newness of life? Do you have that eternal life? It's a gift from God. But it's in Christ. The wages of sin is death. Not only spiritual death that we have spoken about, but physical death and ultimately eternal death. Eternal separation from God is the wages of sin. But in contrast, there's a gift from God. And it's eternal life. And it's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's in him. You see, he's the way to it. When we receive the Lord Jesus, we receive life in him. New life, eternal life. And the Lord Jesus offers that to me. To men and women in newcomer that are prepared to respond to his call and to trust in him. And you know, in order that we might have that eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to lay down his own life. We think about Calvary. We think of the awful events that took place just outside the city wall of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. These awful atrocities that were inflicted on the Lord Jesus. And it seemed as if he was a helpless victim. But the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to lay down his life. He had the power to take up again this commandment he'd received from his Father. And although men seemed to be in control of all the dastardly deeds that were done, in reality God was in control. The Lord Jesus was there for a purpose, to lay down his life. That cross became an altar. The place of crucifixion became the place of sacrifice, and the Lord Jesus laid down his life on that altar at Calvary. He offered it up to God as a sacrifice on account of our sin. And because Christ has died, he's able to offer life, life in all its fullness to those that put their trust in him. Jesus Christ is the way out of that realm of spiritual death, into a realm of spiritual life and vitality and vibrancy. As we've said oftentimes, life without Christ is not really life. It's just existence. Just existence. And sadly, there are many a new come up tonight and they're just existing. Now, they've got their cars, they've got their homes, they've got their families, they've got their pleasures. They've got their big televisions. They've got their hi-fis. They've got all the amenities of life. But they're just existing. Just existing. Be Because true life is only found in Christ. You tell me tonight, are you living? Or are you just existing? Jesus says, I am the way. He's the way out of that realm of spiritual death into that realm of spiritual life. The Lord Jesus is not only the way from death to life, He's the way from darkness into light. We mentioned the other night there that dear man called Bartimaeus that sat by the wayside begging in Jericho, the city of Jericho. He was in the dark. And there he was, he would sit there day after day, begging a few alms from the people just to try to keep soul and body together, just to exist physically and materially. And there he was in his dark and blinded state. Nobody could do anything for him. Nobody wanted to do anything for him. He was just a blind beggar sitting there in his beggar garments. Nobody was interested in him. Nobody cared for him. And even when he cried out to the Lord Jesus for help, the crowd says, Bartimaeus, hold your tongue, man. Nobody cared for him. Just sitting there in the darkness. Until the Lord Jesus called him to himself. The Lord Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Seemed an obvious question, didn't it? But maybe the Lord Jesus is asking you that question now. What do you want me to do for you? You see, the Lord Jesus asked lots of different questions when he was confronted with individuals, when he was hearing of, not because he didn't know the answer, but he was just drawing out a confession of need. And that's what the Lord Jesus does, and that's what he does in meetings like this. He by his Holy Spirit, he asks the Spirit, what do you really want? What do you really want? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want the Lord to do for you tonight? What was Bartimaeus going to say? You know, Mercedes' car wasn't any use to him when he couldn't see, was it? And a good job wasn't of any value to him when he was blind. And a nice house, that was of no good to him either. There was only one thing he wanted, wasn't it? He just wanted to see. Just wanted to see. He'd been in the dark too long. He wanted to see. He spent his life stumbling, groping, falling. Think of the grazed knees. Think of the bruises all over his body as he would stumble even as a child and as he grew up. Think of the reproach that he'd suffered as a blind beggar sitting at the road. The times he would have the dust kicked up into his face. The times he would hold out his hand for an arm and someone would maybe spit at the side of the road. Despised. Just wanted to see. He wanted to be taken out of that realm of darkness. He wanted to be in the realm of light. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, as Bartimaeus referred to us, just in an instant, took away the darkness, took away the blindness. Bartimaeus could see. No one else could do that. Only Jesus. The Lord Jesus is still the way from darkness into light. We mentioned the verse in 2 Corinthians the other night there that the God of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. And that's so obvious, isn't it? When we speak to people. We speak to people about God and they say, well, I don't believe in God. I spoke to a man this afternoon and that's what he told me. Don't believe in God. Speak to people about the Lord Jesus and they just don't want to know. You bring before them the simple truths of God's word and it's just folly to them. They don't understand it. They don't grasp it because they're blind. The God of this age has blinded them. The God of this age is Satan, of course, the devil, the deceiver, the destroyer. And the last thing Satan wants is for the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus to shine into people's hearts. Does his work well, doesn't he? Think of all the distractions he brings into people's lives. The chap told us just 10 minutes before we came to the hall, he says, I'm just going for a quick shave. He says, I'll see you in 10 minutes down in the hall. He's not here. I think he meant to come. And I know the chap, and I know that he wants to come. But you see, there was just a distraction put in his way for the God of this world. Just wants to keep him in blindness. But the Lord Jesus Christ can remove that blindness. He's the light of the world. And he says, those that follow me, they won't abide in darkness. They won't stay there any longer. The darkness will dissipate. The darkness will disappear completely. And they'll be brought into light. In fact, Peter talks about marvellous light. Marvellous light. Paul talks about being delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to do for men and women. And you come, he wants to take them out of that realm of spiritual and moral darkness with all its awfulness. And he wants to take us into light. Maybe you've been stumbling throughout life. Maybe like Bartimaeus, you've been bruised and you've been battered as you've stumbled from one way to another, and you're trying to find your way in life and you just can't find it. And you've been hurt in so many different ways, emotionally and psychologically, and maybe even physically, and you've been looking for the answers to life, and your whole mind is confused and disturbed. And you're in darkness. Lord Jesus says, I am the light. The Lord Jesus calls men and women to himself. The tragedy is there are so many in the love of darkness. Men love darkness, says the Bible, because their deeds are evil. Some people are quite content with the darkness. Quite content, quite happy with their sins. Don't want to give them up. They don't want to leave them. Don't want to forsake them. They would rather have the darkness than the light. Because light exposes, doesn't it? That's the first thing that happens when a person comes to the Lord Jesus. They're exposed. Their sin is exposed in the light of his presence. You see, we really can't draw close to the Lord Jesus without feeling sensitive about our sin. The Lord Jesus wants us to be sensitive about our sin. He wants our sin to be exposed. He wants us to feel the guilt of our sin, to see the shame of our sin, to see the awfulness of it. But praise God, the reason the Lord Jesus exposes our sin is in order that we might confess it and that he might cleanse it. He wants to cleanse us from our sin. And he wants us to walk with him in light. And of course, the one that can dispel the darkness from the human heart is the one that experienced the darkness at Calvary for 3 hours. 3 hours. Darkness. I remember going down the pit on one occasion, I think maybe twice in my life I've been down the pit. I remember going down and down the shaft in Killick one occasion with a group of young folks from the Bible class, and the chap that was with us, in fact it might well have been Mr. McClatchy, he told us to put off our lights. And every one of us put off our lights as we dropped down that shaft. Total darkness. Total darkness. Total darkness. Thankfully it was only for a few seconds. But it was a fearful thing. A fearful thing. Not a ray of light. For 3 hours, the Lord Jesus Christ hung in darkness at Calvary. Not a ray of light. The Lord Jesus is crying out in the midst of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Abandoned out in the darkness. Why was he forsaken? Because in the darkness of Calvary he was bearing my sins. God was laying upon him all my sins. And the Lord Jesus was bearing the judgment for me in the darkness of Calvary. And the one that bore the darkness at Calvary is the one that can dispel the darkness from the hearts of men and women that are blinded by Satan. Not only the way from death to life and the way from darkness to light, but he's the way from distance to nearness. When the Lord Jesus was here, he met a man who was a leper. One of the features of leprosy, or one of the outcomes of having leprosy, is that people had to be They had to be removed from their family, to remove from their home, removed from their community, to dwell alone in the caves. The Lord Jesus met a leper. There he was in all his desperate need and his defilement. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, as he came to the Lord, or as he came to the Lord Jesus, he asked to be made clean. And the Lord Jesus Christ put out his hand and he touched him. And he was cleansed. And that distance that he'd experienced between himself and his family, it was all gone. He could now experience nearness, and a closeness of relationship was re-established because he'd experienced the cleansing of the touch of Christ. Only Christ could do that. Only Christ could remove that disease that caused the distance between the man and his family. And it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can remove the spiritual disease of sin that causes a distance between men and God. Because that's what sin does, you know. The Bible says there are sins and iniquities that have separated us from God, have caused God to turn his face away from us because he's so holy that he cannot look on sin. That sin that's in the human heart, the sin that's practiced in human life, it separates men from God. That's why it's difficult to pray. That's why it's difficult to read the Bible. There's maybe been times where you've tried to pray. There's times where you've tried to read the Bible and there just seems to be a distance between you and God. It's sin that's caused it. But the Lord Jesus Christ came in order that that sin might be removed, and in order that that gulf that exists between men and God might be bridged. God, in the person of the Lord Jesus, is able to reconcile men to himself. He's able to bring them back. He's able to take away that distance, and he's able to bring men into a relationship with them. But it's only through Christ. We quoted the verse earlier, we'll quote it again. There is one God, and there is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And praise God, although men have become separated from God because of sin, the Lord Jesus can bring men back to what God longs for tonight. God longs for a personal relationship with the men and women and the young people of Newcomer. That's the yearning of God's heart. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why the Lord Jesus left heaven and came to earth and died on that accursed cross at Calvary. Died alone in the darkness. That's why he died. So that men and women like you and I could be brought near to God, could become members of his family, and can enjoy a personal, intimate relationship and communion with him. Oh, my friend, there's a way back to God tonight. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And it's here at the cross that we must begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the way. He's the way from death to life. He's the way from darkness to light. He's the way from distance to nearness. He's the way from bondage into liberty. The Lord Jesus was here. He met a man from Gadara, a man that was demon-possessed. A man who was uncontrollable. He was possessed with a power that could totally and utterly overcame him. Men had tried various things to sort him out, and it all failed. Until he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. That man that was in bondage to these demon forces was suddenly sitting clothed in his right mind, delivered, liberated, freed. The Lord Jesus still is the way from bondage to liberty. The Bible says, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. The Bible speaks about the cords of sin that just wrap themselves around an individual, that control them, that master them. Sin starts as something so small. One preacher said it starts as a morsel. It ultimately becomes a master. It controls them. There's only one person that can break the power of sin. There's from the one that can set the captive free, and it's the Lord Jesus. The one that was bound to that accursed cross. Bound not by nails, but bound by love for poor, guilty sinners like you and I. The Lord Jesus saw us in all their bondage, and all their slavery to sin, and all their wretchedness, and all their ruin. He saw us in all their need, and He loved us. And He offered Himself without spot to God on that cross. He died for our sins at Calvary. But through trusting in Him, we could be freed. The shackles of sin broken, the chains of iniquity snapped, free in Christ. The truth sets free. The Lord Jesus says, I'm not only the way, He says, I am the truth. He's the liberating truth. And my friend, when you trust the Lord Jesus, when you come to Him in all your need, He'll take you out of death and He'll bring you into life. He'll take you out of darkness and bring you to His glorious light, His marvellous light. He'll take you from that position of distance from God into nearness with God. And He'll take you from that condition of bondage and slavery to sin. He'll set you free. And you'll be able to stand fast and stand firm in the liberty wherewith Christ and Christ alone has set you free. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way. He's the only way. There is no other way. No other way to God. No other way to heaven. No other way to life. No other way to salvation. No other way to deliverance but Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, in that verse that we commenced the series of meetings with, He says, come to Me. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I wonder, will you come to Him tonight? Because He is the only. The only way. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we just bow in Thy presence and give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank You for all that He suffered on that cross. We'll never understand it, the depths of it. We know, our God, that in some little measure we can appreciate something of the physical pain that He suffered. But, oh, our God, these hours of darkness, what it meant, our God, for Him to be made sin for us, what it meant, our God, for Him to be put to grief, what it meant, our God, for His soul to be made an offering for sin. We'll never understand that. Not even in eternity, our God, will we understand what He suffered. But, our God, we do thank Thee tonight that He did suffer. That He suffered once, our God. He came, He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And we believe that tonight, our God. And we believe, our God, that the work that Christ did at the cross was acceptable to Thyself. And it forms the basis, O God, whereby Thou canst reach out to guilty men and women in their sins, and Thou can offer this full and free salvation through faith in Jesus' name. And so, O God, we thank You for another opportunity just to preach the gospel. We pray, O God, that we bless it and use it for Thy glory, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. He's just about finished. We'll just take time just to sing a verse of a hymn. It's hymn number 250, we'll just sing the first verse from the chorus. Once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? So we'll just remain seated and sing just that verse 1 in the chorus of 250, and after that the meeting is entirely over. We'll just thank You again for coming and remind you of the meetings as we continue throughout the week, each evening at 8 o'clock.